We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, I have so many ideas.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Some are simple, like take down traffic lights and eliminate the post office.
With AJ McCord.
I think this is going to be a really good bonding session. Guys love it when you can show them you're better than they are at something they love.
And Dusty Hera.
I've never taken the high road, but I tell other people to, because then there's more room for me on the low road.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
I am a guy. I do like fire.
I mean, I also like fire, though.
Hour number three! Thanks for being with us, AJ and Dusty. All right. We were just talking about, you know, Chuck getting a snake thrown at him last night. Not really, but... the only one game in the NBA last night was the Suns absolutely manhandling the Nuggets. Does that make Blazer fans feel like way worse that they got manhandled by the Nuggets? Watching them get beat by 25?
I think it says more about Chris Paul and the Suns. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, right, what we said from the beginning and why Portland wanted Denver was that they should have done to Denver what the Suns are doing. Like, they should be able to outshoot the Nuggets without Jamal Murray.
Yep.
And Will Barton, who, by the way, made his debut last night, I believe, in the postseason.
Thrill.
16 minutes, 10 points, 4 of 8 from the field. Pretty good. Will the thrill. So I think if you're a Blazers fan, you got a lot of other things on your mind.
Well, yeah, Chris Paul being healthy is always the caveat with his teams, because you could say with the Clippers, too, is that there were times they look like best team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And then CP3 gets hurt or Blake Griffin gets hurt and the whole thing fell apart.
Right.
You know, he made some history last night.
CP3?
Yeah.
Tell me.
I think this is bananas. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 15 assists.
Mm-hmm.
0 turnovers.
It's impressive.
In playoff history, there are only... He passed Magic Johnson for the most games with 15 or more assists and no turnovers. He's done it 3 times in his career in the playoffs.
Wow.
Magic Johnson's only done it 2. Jason Kidd did it once. John Stockton, who Will Darkins, one of your top point guards of all time, never did it in the playoffs. Never, ever did it.
Hmm.
So Chris Paul is truly, I mean, he is rarefied air, whether you want to admit it or not. He's one of the best damn point guards ever to do it. And this is like the best year that he could ever have to get a ring.
And this is the year, right? In the West, we've talked about it all the time, just how wide open it is,
mm-hmm.
especially with the quote unquote super teams out for the West. It's pretty impressive.
It is impressive what he's doing. In the East, though, we've got a game tonight on ESPN.
Will it be a game?
Well, Clippers Jazz should be good. But the Nets head to Milwaukee up 2-0 in that series. And the Brooklyn Nets have been just absolutely bludgeoning teams. And they gave one away to Boston. But was it? How many did Tatum have in that game? Did he put up a 50-burger or was it 40?
That was his 50.
It was 50?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had Boston get a game. And they gentlemen sweeped him right back in Brooklyn. And they look like they're on a completely different level than anybody else, the Brooklyn Nets. And that leads us to, though, this is Giannis Antetokounmpo yet again getting bounced early in the playoffs. I mean, they lost in the conference semifinals last year. They went to the conference finals in 18-19, lost to the Raptors. And then they had two first-round bounces. Conference semifinal for a second straight year, they could be outside looking in.
Yeah, this is interesting. As I was watching, as I've been watching the Nets and Bucks series sort of develop, in particular, I started wondering.
That's a nice way to put develop there.
Well,
like as
it's only
you,
two games. It was on Brooklyn's home court. Let's like.
As you saw Brooklyn club Milwaukee over the head repeatedly.
Yes. I wondered, is what's happening to Giannis, two-time MVP, proof that you practically, you either have to get really, really lucky or you have to be a part of a super team to win a title?
Ooh.
Because Giannis, like we said, two-time MVP. He's got Drew Holiday, who was an all-star a long time ago, but he was an all-star. And then you've got Chris Middleton, two-time all-star. That's a solid team, right? Like, that's a solid duo, solid trio. But then you look at Brooklyn, and I'm just going to go through three players, even though one's not playing in the series, so take for that for what you want. KD, 11-time all-star, two titles, an MVP, two-time final MVPs. Kyrie, 7-time All-Star, and a title. And yet, the Nets are absolutely demolishing the Bucks. So it just made me wonder, do you have, like, the Suns and the Jazz are sort of doing this, like, homegrown super team, but there's no doubt that they have some very, very, very good players on those teams. But does what's happening to Giannis just prove you have to not only have a superstar, you have to surround him with like that either superstar or right below it caliber of player.
Well, and then you have, I mean, you didn't mention the guy, the fourth guy who's playing his butt off right now is Blake Griffin.
Right.
Like, and you come in, you have an aging 6-time all-star that, I mean, people say, oh, Blake Griffin's washed up. 2 years ago, he was an all-star.
Yep.
And so you have these teams, and yeah, you do. And look, we've been giving Neil Olshey a lot of flack, deservedly so. But a couple years ago, he said something about like restructuring the roster and retooling, which is you have to be in a position where when either super teams end or something happens, you are there to strike and you are ready.
Right.
That's what most teams in the NBA are. And that's the unfortunate thing about this year. Is in the West, especially. Mm-hmm. You look at Utah, Phoenix, and Denver passed Portland. They passed Portland. They're better coached than the Blazers. Their rosters are constructed better than the Portland Trail Blazers. They went out and they got assets and pieces and grew them better than the Portland Trail Blazers. And they said, we're leaving you in the dust because this is the year that Neil was talking about a couple of years ago.
Yep.
This was the year when, you know, the Warriors are down and they're injury riddled. You have the Lakers injury riddled. You had the Clippers trying to toy with people, but not realizing they're not as good as what they think they are.
Right.
But they're still a damn good team and they're going to give the Jazz everything that they can handle. Right. But this was that year.
Yep.
Where you have to be ready to strike because you never know. You know, Harden has just gone down. I hope we see KD and Kyrie, but there's no guarantee we see them. If one of those guys goes down, all of a sudden it's wide ass open for a team like Portland to strike. And for years, we saw a stair step up. Well, the Blazers plateaued, as Neil called it. We can call it what it is. They took a step backwards, and here they are now on the outside looking in.
And this is why you do those moves that don't necessarily, you know, like the Aaron Gordon move. For the Nuggets, right? Like that was a significant upgrade for that roster. And that could be, I mean, it looks like the Suns are going to, the Suns have been very impressive in the first two games, but that's what set the Nuggets apart in being able to beat the Blazers in round one. That was a really big key to that series was Aaron Gordon.
I'll ask you this. Who's beat a super team? Like, I mean, really, really, since the super teams have come out, who has beat a super team?
So the last one that I can really think of would be the San Antonio Spurs in 2014.
When they beat the Miami Heat?
When they beat the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Because you could go back to just 2 years ago, the Raptors beating the Warriors, but they were injured.
Exactly.
They were hurt.
Exactly.
You have to be, and this is the thing. By the way, they went out, got rid of their second best player for Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
To pair him up. Like, you have to be ready for when the S hits the fan.
And you still need some luck, like mm-hmm. the Raptors did in that series against the 76ers.
Yeah.
But they were ready.
You're right.
And that was the difference. Whereas it just, this series with Giannis in the regular season is just so dominating. In the regular season, Giannis takes over. It's why mm-hmm. he won MVP 2 years in a row. But then he comes up against a super team and nothing.
And Giannis gets a lot of this. It says, you know, some would say Giannis is a two-time MVP, number two player. That's because he can't shoot. He's not a number one. Crazy. Yeah, he can't shoot, but this is the thing. This is why super teams exist.
Mm-hmm.
When they take your number one away, who's going to step up? And Chris Middleton, what, missing his first 8 three-pointers of this series? Ain't helping.
Exactly.
You need more help.
You almost need, that's what I'm saying. It's wild that with the two-time MVP, Chris Middleton, who's been an all-star twice, that's not enough, right? And that's so similar in my mind to the Portland Trailblazers. You have Damian Lillard, who is in the MVP conversation, or should be, every single year. CJ McCollum is a great player.
Yeah.
And he has been a great backcourt teammate for Damian Lillard. But you look at a similar situation in the East, and it's sort of like what happened in the West during the Warriors dynasty.
Right.
You have to be ready for when those dynasties fall apart, and Portland wasn't.
Yeah. Oof. There's also one other element of this that I'd like to get your thoughts on, because just look at where Milwaukee is.
Mm.
Think about Milwaukee, the city, too. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, we were talking about this Nets-Bucks series where the Brooklyn Nets, they are everything that we thought they were going to be, because we thought they were going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to see them in a tight series, but they ain't getting that tight series from the Milwaukee Bucks.
You may never see them. I mean,
nah.
Because the brutal part is the Nets have cruised through their first round. They're cruising currently. Who knows? Maybe when Milwaukee puts up a fight, we'll all be excited about that. But if they don't, they will have cruised their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Whoever makes the Western Conference Finals, it will not have been that easy.
Mm-mm.
So whoever comes out of the East, likely the Nets, you're going to get a banged up, exhausted, way more minutes, way more miles on the legs than in the East.
I'm wondering, like, I think Milwaukee's, they're going to get one. I mean, they can't continue to play this bad, can they? Because they're shooting, they're missing open shots too.
Right.
Like that.
Their shooting has been bad.
It's not just everything that Brooklyn is doing. It's that when you're not making your open looks early, you will get crushed by this team because they will just suffocate you.
Yes.
But, you know, it kind of looks like when you look at this Milwaukee team, you don't need that superstar, right? Like that superstar is Giannis Antetokounmpo, back-to-back MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to Milwaukee? It's like, still not going to be good enough, because when the next three guys decide they want to get together in New York or Miami, or, you know, if Philly ever stays healthy, then you have a whole other can of worms, because you're still in Milwaukee, you know, where it's going to be insanely tough to get those people to come in free agency. Because, look, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a back-to-back MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Middleton and Drew Holiday are very nice pieces. They got a really good roster.
Yes, they do.
But any of us anticipate a Jimmy Butler or Kawhi Leonard or anybody like that to walk through the doors there? Because it's still Milwaukee, right?
Mm.
And that's where you sit there and you go, super teams in cities like Milwaukee and Portland, you got to grow it. And you have to be ready, like Phoenix and what Utah are doing, which is develop your talent and pounce when that time is right.
Exactly. And I think that is going to be such a key for Portland. I think similar to Giannis, though, right? Like landing Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and having them on the, I think they're on pretty decent contract. They committed to Milwaukee for a certain amount of times, And I think that's what this next head coach in Portland has to sell is, hey, we're not in LA, we're not in Miami, but you know what we are? We are a team that has Damian Lillard. We are a team that has a superstar, one of the best in this league, who can get us over the top if we have these pieces to put around him. And you are that piece. So sign a 2-year deal, come here. You know, like, it doesn't have to be the longest deal, but that's what you need in this head coach, is the ability to convince guys to try it all at the same time and or develop Anfernee Simons, develop Nasir Little, really invest in making those younger players a bench unit that is something to be reckoned with.
And that the hard part, though, is that,
of course,
like saying that and then them going, well, I could also do that in Miami.
Of course, you know,
and Miami, LA, New York, they're hearing it in those cities and being like, that seems a hell of a lot cooler there. And that is the hardest part about it.
Totally.
Right?
Totally. I'm not saying it's not challenging.
Oh, no, I know you're not saying that. That's just more of like the rhetorical.
Yeah.
We all know that's the conversation that's happening. It's like, look at how great it can be.
Right.
There's a star that wants to be here, a passionate fan base that will be there no matter what. And they're like, well, damn. If I'm with three other stars in Miami, those fans don't care most of the time. They'll care then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
They'll
Very
be
true.
Front runners. They'll all be waving their banners at the front. And that's why it is so disappointing to see the backslide that the Blazers have had.
Especially in this year.
Yeah.
Because in the West, you see how Utah and Phoenix have done it. And that's where Portland should have been in this postseason conversation.
Chris Paul's really good, though. I'm looking at Chris Paul
and
just the difference that he's made on that team.
Huge.
And just getting a vet to say, I like what those guys got going on there. I can help that.
But they went 8-0 in the bubble. I mean, the Suns already had the young talent there. They were already growing a homegrown star, you know, roster of young stars in this league. And then they went out and told Chris, you are the piece that we need. You are the superstar. You are the glue that we need. They got Jay Crowder this offseason too, right?
Yeah.
So those two pieces.
Good player.
And filling a need that they, a hole that they had.
Man. And in Phoenix, no
in
less.
Phoenix.
Nope, Phoenix, no less. I like their Valley jerseys.
I do too.
Both. It throws me for a loop every time I turn the TV on, though, because when I see their floor and I see Utah's floor, I'm like, that's not the Suns or the Jazz. Like, what's going on there? But they look kick-ass.
I know.
This whole NBA, dressing them up in all different uniforms, like, the Blazers wearing their brown uniforms, at least it's something where I can be like, no, I still know that's the Blazers there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are way, way, way out there.
You love the Miami Vice ones, right?
The original ones, yes, I did.
I forgot to tell you, I got you that for your birthday.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. Extra large.
It's large. Not extra large.
Great. Ordering today.
Yeah.
Child's medium.
Schmedium, please. Schmedium.
I'm in
between sizes. All right. Let's talk some college football, because how many spots would the playoff get, or is the Pac-12 going to get if the playoff was the same? It's not that easy. Here's Will.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We talked with John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, earlier today about a lot of things. Larry Scott giving the middle finger on the way out, kind of. Blaming it on more on the schools than himself and the shortcomings of the Pac-12 conference.
He's looking for a new gig.
Yeah, that's not a way to land one.
Well.
Blame your 12 bosses on the way out.
It's fine. Well, everything's fine.
Pretty cool. But we also talked to John Wilner about the college football playoff advisory board recommending a 12-team playoff.
Huge fan of this. Love it.
The Athletic and Nicole Auerbach had the deets on this thing first, but the playoff expanding to 12 was something that we talked about very early in the week because Pete Thamel had an article up about it. But we weren't quite sure on the details of how it all go down. Well, here's the deets. College football playoff recommending the six highest ranked conference champions will get automatic bids and will right off the bat note in there. That does not mean power five.
No.
The six highest ranked conference champions auto bid in. I wonder how Notre Dame's going to fit into this.
That is going to be some very, because weren't you reading the language earlier and it was the conference champions.
Well, the top four ranked conference champions will have a bye.
Right.
Now, this could just be like the reporting or just maybe somebody had misspoke and it's the top four ranked teams no matter what. But if it's the top four conference champions, Notre Dame doesn't have a conference.
No, they do not.
They only played in the ACC this year because they kind of had to.
Because nobody would keep their non-conference schedules.
Yeah. But 5-8 will host on-campus sites. The top four get byes. 5-8 will be on-campus games. So if Oregon or Oregon State is a 5-8 seed, they will host 9-12 as part of that tournament.
One of my favorite parts.
It's pretty kick-ass.
I love this for the universities, the programs to get to show off their facilities on national TV in a likely a primetime spot that sometimes their games have not gotten played in.
Here is where there's a little bit of pushback already. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated says, one Power 5 AD tells me that it's almost perfect. And the almost part is that 1-4 don't get a home game. So if you're upset because 5, 6, 7, 8 get to host a game before they get their asses kicked by you while you're sitting at home in a bye,
feel free to go to number 5.
Yeah, go ahead, tank.
Lose a few games.
Sure.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. We'll go see how that goes. I don't see that being a big one because after that that quarterfinal round, then you get into bowl games take over at that point.
Yep.
Which I think would be awesome.
I agree.
The one thing, and we were talking about this earlier, and I used caution when I talked about this, but it bears repeating. This is huge for the group of five conferences because that means at least one non-major conference is getting a bid every year. But there's a lot of people bashing the Pac-12 saying Pac-12 wouldn't even had a team this year do the rankings. Look, COVID was a whole different animal. You know, the SEC played twice as many games as the Pac-12 did. So use caution when looking at that. But also, I mentioned that, all right, if you want to go off of past rankings like they were for this past year, bashing the Pac-12 would have had two teams in the playoff 4 years, 2014, 16, 17, and 19. And in 2016, they would have had three teams in. This would be huge for the Pac-12.
Yes.
Now, where we say use caution in that is that the College Football Playoff Committee is going to rank these teams completely differently, right? Mm-hmm. They have to.
Well, you have to take more care in it, mm-hmm. I think. Because at the end of the season, outside of top four, there hasn't been a huge difference between, let's say, 8 and 9. But now, that difference is who's hosting.
For sure.
That's a big difference. So I think they're just going to have to take more care in the process.
And that is where I look at it and I go, they have used especially 5, 6, and 7 to prop up either 4 or 3 and justify them being in the rankings.
Very
right?
true.
I mean, they really want to hammer that home that, like, look, oh, they got a quality win against a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, did they really? Yeah, I mean, is that really the top 10 opponent there that you want to throw out there? So you have to keep that into consideration that they have manipulated the rankings by saying, you know, this is why this team got in because look at them right there. That's a top 10 win on their resume
right.
because they felt like they needed a little extra to push them over the top. Now those spots are going to be near the back end of, you know, the top 15 through top 10 to mm-hmm. see to the 13, 14, 15 will be used to justify 12, 11, 10
yes.
to get into the playoff.
Yep.
And so that's that'll be a key factor in this is that how rankings are manipulated moving forward. Because yep. like you could just look and say, wow, the SEC would have gotten like 7 teams in last year. But they manipulate the rankings often in this.
Well, and again, I think last year was such an anomaly. It's hardly even worth exploring what would have happened. To me, 2019 is a more accurate recent year to look at. And in that, you would have had the SEC would have had LSU, Georgia, Florida, Alabama.
Yep.
Then you have Clemson, Ohio State, Oregon, Oklahoma, Memphis, Penn State, Minnesota, and Notre Dame. That is a decent representation from mm-hmm. around college football. And at the end of the day, having Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson be the only three college football programs that are relevant in January is not good for the sport.
Right.
It's simply not. And so even if what we get with this 12 teams is a bunch of second round huge blow ups, right, or blowouts, those are the point is the seat at the table.
Yep.
The point is somebody's program in 5, 6, 7, 8 gets highlighted so yep. that maybe a 5-star recruit changes their mind so that maybe there's more parity. And I get that there's plenty of money involved. Nobody would do anything in college football if there wasn't money involved. But I think this is really good for the sport as a whole.
So we will have, and we also know a couple more facts out of this whole thing. Like, I think this is going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on that. They're going to play those 5 through 12 games mm-hmm. on campuses. That will be before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The other part that's coming out is the quarterfinals. So after that round is played, you'll be down to 8. They will be played on January 1st or 2nd at neutral sites to be determined. So that is when, so after 5 through 12 sort themselves out and you have your final 8 teams advanced, we're pushing college football seasons back further instead
right.
of having it be, which was, there was a thought that it would be, you would still have the semifinals on New Year's Day and then championship game a week later.
Mm.
No, we're bumping it back a week even further, which I'm not opposed to. I love football.
No, I think that still doesn't mess with the NFL calendar too much.
Because the NFL added another week.
Exactly.
Remember that.
Exactly.
But, you know, as it's, I sit there and I think of, so how are Bulls going to react to this? Because, like, you know, you're going to say, all right, so the semifinal is part of that Bull rotation too. It's going to be played a week later.
Mm-hmm.
You have Bulls like traditional New Year's Day Bulls that won't be played there at all
yeah.
anymore. Like the Rose Bowl, are you going to be playing the Rose Bowl if it's a semifinal game the week after New Year's Day?
Yeah, that's, it's going to be interesting, but I also don't see the Rose Bowl going. I mean, they'll
it's
figure
going,
that
oh,
out.
No, it's yeah. not going away, but you know, you have these little kinks that need to be ironed out
totally.
Because people are like, just think of how ingrained the Rose Bowl has been on so many different things. But, you know, I think this change is really good for college football. I don't think there's a bad thing about injecting new life into college football, and this is exactly what that'll do, because it gives exposure to a lot of programs that often get on the outside looking in. How many times have we seen Stanford or Utah on the cusp and just so close, but they never get that shot to be at the table? Stanford is a great example of this, of a team that continually finds their way to be better at the end of every season, and they've been on the outside looking in because of an early season loss so many times.
Exactly. I like it.
You think David Shaw is rethinking his 9 a.m. stance now because you got a little bit of wiggle room now? You can be in the top 10?
No. I still think you should be upset about having to kick off at 9 a.m.
Ah, heck yeah.
I still think it. But that does go back to, for all those people on the East Coast who don't watch Pac-12 at brunch or Pac-12 after dark, all of a sudden you have a college football playoff game in prime time where, let's say, Arizona is hosting, or let's say Oregon is hosting, and oh my gosh, what a wonderful showcase for your conference, for your program, for your facilities. This does a lot. This does not affect the traditional powerhouses in the Alabama, Clemson, and I mean, Crimea River, you don't get to host, you have a bye, but it does wonders for those ones on the cusp of college football royalty, if you will.
503-250-1080. Some of your feedback next on The Fan. All right. 503-250-1080. Having four playoff games on New Year's Day is fantastic. You can put them into the Orange, Cotton, Rose, and Sugar Bowls. Dang right. And this is another opportunity for, you can keep the, we're talking about, look, the quarterfinals are going to be on New Year's Day now, and then semifinals a week later, and then the championship game. Where we currently have the championship game is a standalone game on its own. Why couldn't you just do that with the two semifinal games too, or find two bowl games that would, and just sell the naming rights of those, and you can have your bowl season stay relatively the same with having those games.
Totally. Cool. I'd love it.
Be pretty, pretty, pretty cool.
I'm all for it. I think this is good. I think college football has, like, four teams was not working. At the end of the day, is the 12-team plan perfect? I'm sure some people will say no, and that's fine. But this is the first concerted effort we have seen where the College Football Playoff Committee is willing to try something else. And I personally am a big fan of it.
I'm too. Well, Jack Swarbrick, the AD of Notre Dame, we got a text that said Swarbrick had chimed in on it. They had a teleconference about this. And during our show, and he did mention the fact that Notre Dame is not eligible for, a first round bye in all of this. And he was like, well, we'll see what they say about not having a conference championship. You're getting the easy path without a conference championship game. Now you don't have anything you can say that, come on, join the ACC. You're in the conference championship game this year. Just do it. Do it.
Don't be ridiculous.
Do it. Do it.
Money.
Yeah, I know. They got their own TV contract. They got their own channel.
It's not competitive. It's money.
Well,
wait, it all comes back to money?
Yeah, maybe this is money. Where it does become competitive for them, though, is if they have the best team in all of college football and it's not even close and they have to play an extra game to win a national title. That is where it does become competitive, because you're going to want to damn buy.
Yes.
And they have been one of the top four teams in college football before.
Yes.
I mean, they're good. That's a dang good program they got that Brian Kelly has going there. But Jack Swarbrick also said that he goes, look, we just don't have, we haven't had a team that starts in the top seven of the rankings, in the initial rankings, win a title. Like, that's a problem for our sport.
Yes.
You have to champion, you
exactly
have to open it up.
Yeah. Exactly. Make a bigger table.
And
happy about it.
The big thing for the Pac-12, though, you're going to get a seat. You better start winning some damn games at it.
Yeah. And you know what this also does, though, is right, the Pac-12 consistently has their sort of powerhouses have that one big game at the beginning of the year, whether it's an Auburn or an Ohio State or whatever. It does take a little bit of the losing that game doesn't necessarily cost you a chance.
Doesn't kill you.
Which I think is good, because as the Pac-12 works to elevate its brand again in college football, I think that's important because we talked about, I mean, David Shaw has come out and talked about the challenges that you face as a Pac-12 school trying to go back east and play some of those powerhouses. What Oregon is going to have to do to be ready to play at Ohio State at in the big noon kickoff, which is 9 a.m. here. I mean, that's it's not a thing that should be totally taken for granted. Right. It does cost the West Coast team something to go back east, and it's nice that this format doesn't punish them in the postseason and for the rest of the season because of it.
Hear, hear. All right, you want to have some fun audio to end the day?
More than anything.
All right. Well, the Houston Astros are in the city of Boston.
Okay.
And, you know, friendly fan base there in Boston.
I've heard.
Very loving.
Yeah. Especially to the opposing team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very welcoming. Yeah.
So are the children of Boston. Here is some audio of Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros and a child in the stands at Fenway Park as they're warming up today.
Can I get a photo?
I'm going to get one too.
I don't want a photo with you, cheater. I don't want to follow you.
Go bang on a barrel, you bum.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you say a child. How old is that child?
It's like 12.
Wow.
12, right? Yeah, he was probably like 12. Yeah.
Wow.
That was fantastic.
Wow.
Hey, can I get a photo? Can I get a photo? I don't want a photo of you, you bum.
Told him to go bang on a barrel.
Go bang on a trash can.
Boston trash talk. Like, that would just epitomize.
That
I love it.
Well, and if you watch the video closely, his dad is the one who's beckoning him over.
Yeah.
The dad put him up to it.
You get a hey, that's Sully and Sully Jr. over there. Just like
the dad initiates it. He's like, all right, here, right here, right here. It's a little bit before.
Does he start walking over?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He came over to take the picture.
All the way over. Okay.
Yeah. And it was like, I don't know. Okay, and then so there's some Astro fans right next to him that he got the picture with. Bregman's reaction is priceless. Like, he kind of like looks over to like side smirks. He's like, what the hell just happened to me? You just wanted to get a photo, and now no, none of it. I love it. That's great.
That is great.
And the kid fakes it. He fakes the selfie
like
this. You know, if you can't see me, but he
like
fakes,
puts his arm up.
Yeah, he puts his arm up. He's faking the selfie, and then he turns around and looks at Bregman, and he looks back at the camera, and he goes, I don't want a photo with you, you cheater. Yeah, and then he moves on to another little kid.
He called
him
a bum.
That's what he says. Go bang on a barrel, you bum.
No, that's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
I love it. What a way to end the show.
Yeah.
Solid trash talk.
Uh-huh.
That's a great text. Trash. You get it? You get it? Trash.
Hey, yo.
Talk.
Yep, I get it.
Good job.
I get it.
You bum.
You bum. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That kid's going to grow up to hate whoever's playing left field for the Red Sox someday, because that's the way they're wired.
Here we are.
All right. We'll see you Friday. Have a great Thursday. If you missed our interviews with John Wilner or Sam Amick, check them out. Let's Drop Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. Up next, Prime Time with Isaac and Sook. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday on Fan and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.